I would like you, dear friends, first to turn with me to the first epistle to the Corinthians and chapter 1. And it is on page 1369 in the Bible that I'm using. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17. For Christ has not sent me to baptize, but to preach glad tidings, not in wisdom of word, that the cross of the Christ may not be made vain. For the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved it is God's power. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, set aside the understanding of the understanding ones. Where is the wise? Where scribe? Where disputer of this world? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world by wisdom has not known God, God has been pleased by the foolishness of the preaching to save those that believe. Since Jews indeed ask for signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, to Jews an offence and to nations foolishness. But to those that are called, both Jews and Greeks, God's power and God's wisdom. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Then in John's Gospel according to John, and chapter 19, and it's on page 1297, we'll begin reading at verse 17. And he, that is Jesus, went out bearing his cross to the place called Place of a Skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, and with him two others, one on this side and one on that, and Jesus in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title also and put it on the cross. But there was written, Jesus, the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. This title, therefore, many of the Jews read, for the place of the city where Jesus was crucified was near. And it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin. The chief priests of the Jews therefore said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Verse 25, and by the cross of Jesus stood his mother, and the sister of his mother, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdala. Jesus therefore, seeing his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loves, says to his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then he says to the disciple, behold thy mother. From that hour that disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now finished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, says, I thirst. There was a vessel, therefore, there full of vinegar, having filled a sponge with vinegar, and putting hyssop round it, they put it up to his mouth. When therefore Jesus had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Having bowed his head, he delivered up his spirit. Jews therefore, that the bodies might not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for it was the preparation, for the day of the Sabbath was a great day, demanded of Pilate that their legs might be broken and they taken away. Soldiers therefore came and broke the legs of the first and of the other that had been crucified with him. Coming to Jesus, when they saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water. He who saw it bears witness, and his witness is true, and he knows that he says true, that ye also may believe. For these things took place, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Not a bone of him shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. And finally, if you'll bear with me, just a few verses in the Epistle to the Galatians on page 1405. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 10. For as many as are on the principle of works of law are under curse. For it is written, cursed is every one who does not continue in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that by law no one is justified with God is evident, because the just shall live on the principle of faith. But the law is not on the principle of faith, but he that shall have done these things shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us out of the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one hanged upon a tree. That the blessing of Abraham might come to the nations in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through him, through faith. Expect it will be evident from the scriptures that I've read that I particularly want to focus tonight on the cross. And I'm caused to do this because of something that was in the news this past week, that a supermarket had decided to change the cross on their hot cross buns to a tick because they felt it might be less offensive. Dear friend, I want to ask you whether you find a cross offensive, and particularly whether you find the cross of Christ offensive. Dear friend, the cross of Christ will be offensive to the religious flesh. But, dear friend, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is a very great blessing to those who recognize that they are sinners before a holy and righteous God and have absolutely no claim upon his grace or his mercy. Dear friend, the cross of Christ is a very, very necessary thing in the glad tidings. It cannot be escaped. It cannot be escaped because it is where God's righteous claims have been met. You can't meet God's righteous claims, dear friend. Wouldn't matter, dear friend, if you decided to turn over a new leaf and live the rest of your life in a perfect way. I doubt whether you'd be able to do it anyway. In actual fact, I know full well that you wouldn't be able to do it. And you probably know that too. But dear friend, scripture tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All men are sins before a holy and righteous God. One man said to my grandfather many, many years ago, said, Mr. Bond, I don't think I've sinned today. He said, really? He says, if you'd not even had a foolish thought, dear friend, even the thought that you might think that you haven't sinned is a foolish thought. And as such, as being a sinner, you cannot stand before God. But where we started to read, for Christ has not sent me to baptize, but to preach glad tidings. So tonight, dear friends, there are glad tidings that can be preached. And they can be preached here in this room. They can be preached in any room in the whole world. They can be preached in the streets. They can be broadcast over the radio or television or any other way that you might think. Because, dear friend, God's righteous claims have been met. And God is propitious towards his creature man. Though he may be steeped in sin, God can come out in blessing towards man. But he can come out in blessing towards man because of the cross of Christ. That's how he can come out to in blessing, dear friend. There's no escape from the cross for man. And I speak reverently when I say that there is no escape from the cross for God either. The cross was very, very necessary for God's righteous claims to be met. And I want you just to think about this, you know, that his only beloved son, the son whom he loved, the son who knew no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. And in one place in the scriptures, it says, at least one place anyway, it says, in him sin was not. Sin had no access to the Lord Jesus Christ at all. You know, when he was tempted of the devil after having fasted, we were speaking, weren't we, this afternoon about fasting. The Lord Jesus had fasted for 40 days in the wilderness, and the devil came to him to try to tempt him. Surely he hungered, and the devil tried to get him to make stones into bread, you know, and things like that. Oh, dear friend, the devil will come along when you are at your weakest point. And in the Lord Jesus Christ, he found absolutely nothing. There was no chink into which sin could find access into the Lord Jesus. He was totally and utterly without sin. That is something that I find very, very difficult to comprehend. I have to accept that the word of scripture, you know. But I have to accept that him being God's beloved son, he knew no sin. He was absolutely and utterly sinless. And as being such, dear friend, he could therefore be the perfect sacrifice for God to allow to be put by wicked hands upon a cross of wood. Yes, wicked hands maybe put him there. Wicked hands maybe put nails through his hands. Hands that have been used in the service and healing of men. Wicked hands put nails through his feet. Feet that had walked in the perfect and holy will of God. But if friend, wasn't those nails that kept him on that cross. It was his obedience to his God and Father's will. And it was his love for you and for me. You know, when they cast those curses upon him, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. It was actually an impossibility what they were saying. Because if the Lord Jesus had saved himself, he certainly couldn't have saved us. He had to become the sin bearer, you know. So that God's righteousness could be met. The Lord Jesus Christ had to hang on that cross. He had to hang there and suffer all the insults that those people around that baying crowd would have hurled upon him, you know. He had to suffer all of that. But more than that, dear friend, he had to suffer the very consequences of sin itself. And that is a time that was too awful for even man to see into. It was a time where communion, as we understand from scriptures, was broken with his God and Father. A time that was clothed in darkness. When Jesus came into the world, the night time was turned into day. When Jesus hung upon the cross, the daytime was turned into darkness, into night, so that no eye could penetrate what the Lord was suffering, you know. It's a secret transaction, really, when the Lord Jesus bore the penalty of sin. And he bore the penalty of sin so that God's glad tidings could be preached today, you know, in 2024. I don't know how long the gospel will continue to be preached. I know it's been preached for 2,000 years. But I don't know how much longer it will be preached, because we're told that God is going to close the day of grace. So, dear friend, if you are not trusting under the shed blood of Jesus tonight, if you have not come to that cross and accepted that the Lord Jesus went that way on your account, I would suggest you better do something about it before it is too late. Because, you know, there is going to come a time when the gospel preaching will no longer be proclaimed, when God will close the scene, and there will never again be an opportunity to come to God in repentance. So it says the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Do you think it's a foolish message? Do you think, dear friend, that there's some way in which you can earn your own salvation? It's interesting, isn't it, that we live in a world where there is so much information and so much so-called knowledge about. You can find out about virtually anything these days using the internet, you know. But going along with that is an increasing ignorance of God. It's a solemn thing that, isn't it? The world by wisdom has not known God. It says here something about, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world, since in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom has not known God. God, has been pleased by the foolishness of the preaching to save those that believe. Dear friend, that's all you have to do. That's all you have to do. You have to believe God. You have to take him at his word. Think of Abraham, the father of faith. It says that Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Dear friend, that's all you have to do. Sometimes you hear people say that they'll put their case before God. Well, dear friend, there was a man found in a wedding feast who was not in the right garment. When he was taken out, he was questioned about it and he was taken out and he said nothing. Dear friend, every mouth will be stopped before a holy and righteous God. You will not be able to plead your cause, you know, because you will be found wanting. The only way of salvation is to trust in the precious finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it requires that you visit that cross, dear friend. It requires that you look at that one who hung there on that cross. You look at that one who bore the judgment of your sins. You look at that one who bore the judgment of sin itself. And you recognize that he was there, not on his own account, because he had no sin on him whatsoever. He was there in your place, dear friend. He was there to take the penalty which stood out against you and I. God has been pleased by the foolishness of the preaching to save those that believe. Well, since Jews indeed ask for signs, Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To Jews an offence, to nations foolishness. Well, here Jews would speak of the religious people of the day, and the nations would speak of those, basically everyone else who wasn't religious. But, you know, religion can't save you. Many people go by some sort of religious orthodoxy. I thought this afternoon, didn't we, about the man who went up to the temple to pray, and he prayed a prayer which was praising his religious credentials, and he didn't go down to his house justified. He went down to his house exactly the same way as he came up, still steeped in his own religion. Dear friend, if you come to the cross of Christ, I trust you'll go away a changed person. Because I trust that you will see that the Lord Jesus has been there on your account and taken away your sins. Read in John about those who stood by the cross. Just read that bit as well at the beginning, where it speaks about the place being a place of a skull, Golgotha. Human wisdom has no place at Calvary's cross, dear friend. It has no place at Golgotha. Human wisdom is set aside completely. It's utterly on the grace of God that the gospel is proclaimed. Man is undeserving indeed. Every one of us is undeserving of any blessing for God. We cannot plead our cause. But God comes out in love towards the creature tonight to offer free and full salvation. But it's on his terms and not ours, dear friend. Those terms are that we accept that Jesus Christ died in our stead. That he took the penalty that stood out against us. And he took the penalty that God had measured out upon his head. I just read that bit as well about where it says about the King of the Jews. Well, the Jews rejected Jesus. Says he came to his own, and his own received him not. Will you accept Jesus? Pilate wrote a title, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. They tried to get him to change it. Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." Probably the best thing that Pilate ever said, I guess. Anyway, it stood. God saw to it that that message was there. Every language of the known languages of that day, so that everyone would understand who was hanging upon that cross, was the man of God's choice. The one that man rejected was the man of God's choice. Will you, dear friend, reverse that judgment tonight? Will you accept Jesus as your Saviour? Will you make him your King and your Lord? Or will you continue to reject him. So I just read that bit about those that stood by the cross, because I just thought that helps us to understand there is perhaps sometimes a penalty that comes with it, standing by the cross. You know, people might think you're a bit ridiculous or a bit gone in the head, but remember what we read at the beginning. By the foolishness of the preaching, but by wisdom, the world has not known God. So there were those who stood beside the cross, but then we get that lovely section where the soldier came and pierced his side, and the blood of Jesus flowed. Takes us back to that time, doesn't it, when the blood of the Passover lamb was shed and was put on the doorpost and the lintel of the house, and the destroying angel went through the land of Egypt, and it said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. The shed blood of Jesus, dear friend, gives God a righteous basis to forgive you for your sins, because it's the evidence that the life of Jesus was given up on your account, came out blood and water. God saw to it that there was witness to it. Only once, only in one of the four Gospels is this recorded, I believe. But it's recorded, and it says, he who saw it bears witness, and his witness is true. And he knows what he says true, that ye also may believe. Again, the scripture fulfilled there. Not a bone of him shall be broken, and that they shall look on him whom they pierced. So, dear friend, what does the cross of Jesus mean to you? Do you look at that cross? Do you think of that shed blood? Do you recognise that it was shed on your account? Do you recognise that you should have suffered for your sins, but Jesus took your place? Scripture I read in Galatians was written to those who should have known these things. They'd made profession of understanding these things, but they were going back on them. And the chapter starts, O senseless Galatians, who has bewitched you? So easy for us. When we're perhaps younger, or we accept the gospel initially, we are in the vital truth of it. But as life goes on, we can get turned aside. But what does it say? It says, cursed everyone who does not continue in these things which are written in the book of the law to do them. If you're living by law, dear friend, you have to obey every facet of it. But you know, Christ has redeemed us out of the curse of the law, having become the curse for us. For it says, it is written, cursed is everyone hanged upon the tree. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken away the curse of sin for all who trust him, all who put their trust, faith and trust in that precious shed blood of Jesus. Are you amongst them, dear friend? Do you know what it is to have the curse removed from you? Or are you still seeking to make your own way? Dear friend, give up on that line tonight and put your faith and trust in the precious shed blood of Jesus and nothing else. Nothing else is satisfactory for God. He wouldn't have given his son if there had been another way. Dear friend, put your faith and trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus, that the blessings of Abraham might come to the nations in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Well, dear friend, that would help us to know something of the life that is found alone in Jesus. Because, dear friend, not only did he hang upon the tree, not only did he shed his precious blood, not only, but he was taken down from the cross and put in the tomb, raised the third day by the glory of the Father, and he's now waiting to come to call those who believe in him to be with himself. Are you amongst them, dear friend? Are you waiting for that call? You know, it's a wonderful thing if somebody says to you, oh, I'm waiting for a call from heaven. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know something of the promise that is awaiting those who believe in the Lord Jesus, those who have trusted in that precious shed blood, those for whom the cross is not a curse, but it is a blessing. Dear friend, are you counted amongst them tonight? I trust you will be, for his name's sake.